Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
This is Sports Sunday.
I wonder if we could, like, set up an elaborate role-play scenario where we would just call in and give your best post-game question, and then I would be Ned Yost and try to answer them as well as I could.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Talk about a Soria's performance there in the third.
Don't ask me a talk about question! I'm bleeping Ned Yost!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Listen, I thought Jack really had a good outing. Welcome back into Sports Radio 810. Joshua Briscoe here with you for another hour or so. Beards McFly on the other side of the glass as we are now joined by our friend Max Reaper of Royals Review. Finally, there are Royals things to review. Baseball's actually happening. Max, we talked to you so many times with absolutely no baseball being played. For me, it was yesterday more so than opening day because I was doing a show opposite the game opening day, and so I was all work. Yesterday felt like baseball Christmas. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's something like we don't really realize how much you miss something until you kind of see it again. And, it was great. It was a sight for sore eyes just to see the game. It was a little bit different, but you kind of get over it pretty quickly. You're not noticing that there's no fans there. And it's just great to see baseball back on my TV. And, hey, it's late July. The Royals are right in the pennant race. Who would have thought that, last winter?
They're tied for first in the AL Central. They just need second now. They just need second, and boom, all of a sudden, playoffs are back in play. We had the fantasy for a little while of, like, can they make this work with the expanded playoffs? Can they make a run? Well, they're not doing expanded playoffs. Wait, they actually are again now. Are you willing to entertain that possibility at all at the moment?
Until they get eliminated, I think it's always in play. So, I'm gonna hold on. But if they have Brady Singer on the mound,
yeah,
every 5 days, I mean, they got a chance to win some games.
I enjoyed also, not only did I just enjoy watching the Brady Singer game, I enjoyed specifically watching Singer even more than I thought I would. Because I thought I would enjoy it just as like the here's the new fun thing. But he looked in control out there. Like he genuinely looked like he belonged. It wasn't like a wild young pitcher stepping up and having some great moments. He looked like a legitimate professional. Is that a fair reading?
No, I think I absolutely agree. And, I came in with kind of tempered expectations just because, I've seen a lot of, pitchers come up that are ballyhooed in the minor leagues, and then they come up and they struggle initially. They can't find the plate, or they're kind of intimidated by the moment. And, man, he didn't seem like he was intimidated at all. And I know he's pitched on a big stage before in the College World Series in Florida. But, man, he just had some of the nastiest stuff I think I've seen in a while out of a Royals pitcher. I saw my good friend Patrick Brennan tweeted that Singer had 17% of his pitches were swing and miss.
Yeah.
Which out of all Royals starters last year, that would have been the third best start in that category in 2019.
Yeah.
So his stuff is obviously major league ready. And if not, the best stuff on this pitching staff. And what a treat to see him go out there and compete. And, he had a little trouble and an inning or two there, but was able to kind of battle through that. And that's kind of what we've heard out of him, is that he's a bulldog out there. But just the pure stuff to see a mid-90s fastball that he can locate pretty well and have that slider with that great bite to it. He's still going to have to work on that changeup. I think he only threw two yesterday. But, obviously the fastball-slider combo is enough right now to get guys out. And we'll see how he does going forward. I'm not going to expect this every time out, but certainly a great debut. I think a lot of Royals fans should get excited about this kid because he's got the stuff to really be a top-of-the-line starting pitcher. And when you have one of those, I mean, I think that at least gives you a chance to compete, and the Royals, showed that yesterday.
Yeah, and I think with what you said about the working through some stuff and having a couple of challenges and whatnot, the thing that I was keeping an eye out for was, would he ever be punished for not going to the changeup? Would he ever be punished for letting one of those sliders hang or something? And he never was. There was never a moment where you went like, oh, if this goes bad, that's what it's going to be. Like that, the third inning, he was very, very close to getting a running out at third from Whit DeFranco, and Franco couldn't pull it in. He got squeezed out on a strike on a pitch that I think was one. And he still got out of that inning with really minimal damage. I mean, it just, again, I know we're repeating ourselves now, but he felt like he belonged there. The mentality and the stuff and the results, all three of those things played together in a way that I don't know why you wouldn't keep being optimistic. Maybe the changeup still has to come around. That's totally fair. But you have two really good pitches, and while you're working on a third one, I mean, I'm excited to see him go again next time. Like I don't think I've looked forward to pitching appearances like that from a Royal in a good long while.
Yeah, and think about how many young guys might come up and get really frustrated that, you know, Franco didn't make that play or that the umpire was kind of squeezing him at home plate. And you know that you can engage in self pity and say, oh, you know, I would have pitched better. I made some good pitches, but you know, they just hit it. But, you know, he went out there and battled and kind of overcame that. And the Indians are, you know, they've got some really good hitters. You know, we're talking about Jose Ramirez, who was an MVP candidate 2 years ago. We're talking about Francisco Lindor, Carlos Santana, who's one of the most patient hitters in baseball. And he was just going out there and attacking them and showing what he has. And a lot of those guys seem legitimately fooled by that slider. So I'm tremendously excited. I want to see what he can do. You know, there's not a whole lot of video, I'm sure, on him right now. So maybe the hitters aren't that accustomed to him. So let's see how he does going through the lineups a couple times, and maybe you'll have to develop that changeup. But I think right now, the initial results, I think you can't help but be really excited as a Royals fan.
What did you think of how Matheny's used the bullpen? We saw, you know, mixed results on game one, but after Singer, the imagination of it I found really exciting. I know we talked about this a little bit with Alec Lewis in an article that he wrote a few weeks ago about, you know, the evolution of Mike Matheny and that he was going to do bullpen matchup stuff. But I believed that and still never would have guessed that we were going to see Ian Kennedy coming in, warming up at the end of the fifth and coming in for the sixth. Like that was really unique, especially just kind of compared to how Ned Yost liked to manage the bullpen, try to get those guys their own innings. What do you think about what Matheny has shown so far?
You know, I'll be honest, like when he pulled Duffy in the first game, I scratched my head a little bit, like, okay, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. We're going to Barlow, who was a late inning reliever last year. But the way he explained it post game, I think made a lot of sense. He didn't want to go the third time through that lineup, and when they were about to hit the top of that lineup, he thought Barlow was a good bet to get a ground ball in that situation, which is what they wanted, to get the double play. And in fairness, Barlow did get the ground ball. It just was kind of, you know, they overshifted and the ball kind of trickled through and found a hole. So Barlow kind of did his job, to be fair. And then since then, the bullpen has been lights out, with 8 2/3 innings over two games, not allowing a run, 11 strikeouts. So, you know, it makes sense to go to your bullpen early, and it is really refreshing to kind of see some different creative usage. And he talked about it all spring training and all summer camp, that they would have to be creative in the shortened season, and they were going to go all out and try to win every single game. And I know there's some Royals fans that were upset with Ned Yost at times, because it seemed like, you know, there were games where he'd kind of give, you know, not put out his best effort. Maybe, okay, this is going to be the game where we're going to play some backups and have a, you know, guy we haven't used in a while come out of the bullpen. And that would frustrate some fans. And Matheny's been like, okay, we're going to try to win every single game we can, especially early on. And that's going to mean pulling starters early because, you know, the evidence shows when you go the third time through a lineup, you're much weaker and the hitters start to key in on you. Whereas if you bring in a fresh reliever, and we got some arms out there that can throw 95, 96, 99, 100 miles an hour, it makes more sense to bring in those fresh arms. Now we'll see if that works throughout the year and how long he sticks to that. But, you know, I think a lot of times these Royals fans have been asking for a manager that was more creative, was more into analytics, and at least through two games, Matheny seems to be kind of walking the walk and taking to heart. And it's not going to work every single time. There's going to be a reliever that he brings in early that just totally implodes. And there's going to be a shift like we saw on Monday that doesn't work. You know, the hope is with analytics, you know, it's analytics doesn't mean it's going to work every single time.
Sure.
What you're hoping with analytics, it's like the house in Vegas. You know, you're hoping that over time, with the number of bets you make, that more will work out than don't. Mm-hmm. And so far, you know, I think the results have been mixed, but I think over time you hope that that it works out more than not. And I am glad to see a manager who's at least thinking about the evidence and the data and what that says, rather than saying, I'm going to do this because of my gut or because of, you know, conventional wisdom. And then there was I may not agree with all the decisions Mike Matheny makes, but at least I can understand his justification for it.
Yeah, there's a clear philosophy behind it. It's clear that he's saying, you know what, screw the inning that it is. this is what we think is going to be a pivotal moment and a matchup that we have in our favor. Again, like I appreciate that as just kind of in that creativity. Do you think, I mean, I know you kind of questioned how this could work in the long term, but do you think that the Royals have the bullpen arms to continuously pull this off, to maybe, you know, maybe Matheny kind of helps adjust expectations for starters to say, hey, our goal for you is really to get, and also, you know, carrying as many relievers as they can now. Our goal for you is to get us through the lineup twice, hopefully as quickly as possible, and then we're going to get you out of there again real quick, and we're going to just say, here's an inning, here's two innings, here's an inning, and before you know it, the game's over, and we've ended up with maybe playing above our pay grade in terms of our pitching production. Do you think that's likely, or at least do you think that can be pulled off a significant amount of the time?
I think they have a chance. I mean, I think the bullpen right now is still a lot of question marks, right? I mean, we got a lot of guys that have either not done it before at the big league level or haven't done it in a while because they've been hurt, and Greg Holland and Trevor Rosenthal. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I think all those guys share is that they have the potential and they have the ability to throw the ball really, really hard. And so I think you've got a lot of guys out there. You got a lot of options, I think, is a good thing. That's something we haven't had, I think, the last 2 years when we were kind of throwing Brandon Nauer and Justin Grimm out there. It's like, well, we don't have anyone else out there to throw. You know, we could throw some kid from AAA, but he may not be ready. And now it seems like we've got a lot of different options we can turn to. Tyler Zuber, who, I mean, I'm sure a lot of Royals fans hadn't even heard of before this week. He went out there and looked super impressive, I thought, on the Friday. And so they've got some different options out there. Rosenthal looked really sharp. Greg Holland, really nice to see him out there again doing his thing and slamming the door shut after a little bit of trouble. I like Josh Stamon a lot. I think he's got a chance to be really good. So they've got some different options. You know, the one where you have, I think Bill James, I think, had an old adage about, you know, the more relievers you bring in, the more chance that one of them doesn't have it that day. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only worry you have with this strategy of bringing in lots of different relievers, is that it only takes one guy to kind of mess it up. Yeah. But if you have a lot of depth, and I think they do have some depth, I think they have the potential to have depth, I'll say that, because we don't know what we have. But I think they have a lot of guys that have the chance to be pretty good this year. And if you have a lot of options like that, you know, it's kind of an extension of what they did before, which with HDH, instead of, you know, giving six innings and turning it over to your bullpen, maybe you only do five innings and turn it over, or maybe even four innings and turn it over to your bullpen. You just need the horses to do that, and they very well may have those horses. I mean, through two games at least, they've been lights out. So I'm for trying to see what they have with this bullpen and kind of going through the options and seeing what's going to work out, especially in a year like this where it's a short season and you're kind of experimenting with lots of different things.
Yeah. We're talking to Max Reaper of Royals Review here on Sports Radio 810. What about the offense? I mean, we see in game one, it's just a strikeout party. In game two, it's back-to-back homers and then a ghost runner on second who ends up coming around. We see going into today, the lineup is very much tinkered with by Mike Matheny. What's your level of concern at this point, kind of looking at the lineup and saying, even if the pitching, if the starting pitching is better than we expected and the bullpen is as good as we're hoping, how far does the offense still have to go to again, right now the goal is for this team to be around 500, and that might be good enough for a playoff spot legitimately.
Yeah, the lineup I think is going to be a little bit of an issue just because, whereas the bullpen, I think, has the room for growth, and I think even the starting rotation has some room for growth, especially with Singer and if we see some other arms out there. The lineup kind of is what it is. I mean, you know, Jorge Soler, he kind of maxed out his potential last year. That's about the best we can hope for him, right? That was really good.
Yeah.
But we have to hope he doesn't regress now. Hunter Dozier, we're really missing him right now. But even if he does, when he does come back, you know, he kind of is what he is. He might get a little bit better, but he was really good last year, and they were still, like, you know, one of the bottom offenses in the league. So, you know, getting Salvi back helps, and he showed that yesterday. We really missed that power bat in the lineup. But there are a lot of holes in that lineup, and I don't know if they're going to be able to paper over those. I mean, Michael Franco, I think, is probably going to be a whipping boy for the Royals early on. You know, he did win the game yesterday with a sac fly, but he's looked kind of rough early on. You know, they're missing Dozier right now, and Bubba Starling hasn't really stepped up. You know, it's only two games, but hasn't looked very impressive in his first two outings. It looks like Brett Phillips is getting the start today. We'll see what he can do. I will say this about the first game. You know, Shane Bieber is a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
And he had his A-game stuff on that day, and it was a big strike zone. That being said, man, 18 strikeouts is unacceptable, and a lot of those guys just look completely lost up there, just guessing, you know, as far as what was coming down the pipe. So that's got to change. They got to be able to put the ball in contact a little more than that. And that's going to be a challenge, and I think it's going to be something they struggle with all year. I mean, they've really got like three guys that know what they're doing up there in Witt and Hostelaire and maybe Alex Gooden at times. But other than that, there's a lot of guys that are kind of always had a reputation of swinging and missing at pitches and not really recognizing pitches really well. So it's going to be an issue all year, and I don't know if there's a lot of help that you can expect mid-season. Maybe Khalil Lee can help show up and help out sometime at this season. But, that's kind of the work in progress right now, whereas the pitching, I think, has a lot more room for improvement.
What do you make of the move for Franco going to first today and then Mejia playing at getting the start at third? I mean, obviously, again, Dozier doesn't give you that third base flexibility when he's not actively playing. Maybe that would have been him if he was, but I was surprised to see Mejia getting a start today.
You know, there's been a lot of buzz about him. Even back in spring training, there was a lot of buzz about him. And in summer camp, I think he was like their top hitter in the exhibition games. So I think they kind of like him. I think they don't want to see what he can do. I mean, there's no illusions here. He's a reserve guy, but I think they kind of want him to fill maybe that Chris Owings role last year that Chris Owings filled but didn't hit at all.
Right.
They
want him to be Chris Owings. I strive to have anything in my life give me low expectations as low as that, because I can always be your Chris Owings.
Yeah, I mean, I think they want his ability to play lots of positions and fill in for guys like a couple times a week without the 130 batting average that Chris Owings provided. So, and I think Mejia's got a chance to be a little bit better than that. And he's going to bring some speed. I think they just want to see that flexibility a little bit. In the short season, this is kind of your chance to see what guys like that can do. And McBroom is probably not a guy that needs to play every day at this point. Although, I'd like to see him get as many at-bats as he can, just because I want to see what he can do. And I don't know that Franco is a guy that I really need to see a whole lot out of. I think he'll hit better than he's been doing, but he's been in the league for a while. He kind of is what he is. A guy with good power, but is not going to hit for much average and doesn't draw walks and has some issues defensively at times. So McBroom is kind of the guy I'd like to see a little bit more of that. But Mejia, let's see what he can do. He's going to fill in all over the outfield and infield. So, he's give the kid a chance, and maybe he'll surprise you.
We also get Franchi Cordero in right today and Ronald Bolaños getting the start. I don't know what the plan will be with Bolaños, but how much they're going to be looking to get out of him starting today. But what are you looking for both of those guys making their debuts?
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a bullpen day. So Bolaños, I would expect maybe two innings, and then they'll kind of go through the pen and play from there. But in a short stint, I think Bolaños has a chance to be really successful. I think he's a guy that definitely has the stuff to get hitters out. It's just a matter of, is he going to be able to throw strikes and, keep the ball low enough to not get into trouble. And so in a short stint, and you're talking about two innings, if he gets in any kind of trouble, you can give him a quick hook. And maybe in a shorter stint, you kind of have him concentrate on throwing strikes better. So I think he has a chance to be pretty good this year. We'll see. For Cordero, I think, he's a guy that I'm really intrigued about just because he seems like kind of a mystery box. You don't know quite what you have with him.
Yeah.
He's been hurt so much the last 2 years that he hasn't seen much major league. He hasn't really seen any kind of baseball action the last 2 years. So he's got the tools. Let's just see what he can do with him. And I don't, it's not fair to put on the Royals to develop him in what 1 week that they've had him.
Right.
But, it's going to be a work in progress and we'll see what he can have. I want to see what kind of tools he has. Didn't look great with dropping the ball. I don't remember if that was against Cleveland or if that was an exhibition game, but kind of botching a fly ball out there. But, there's going to be some lumps, I think, with him. But I think he's also going to amaze you with, 450-foot home runs and tremendous speed out in that outfield. So let's see what we got. I mean, it's like I said, it's a mystery box. We could have a Lamborghini, or we could have a Yugo out there.
Right.
So I don't know.
But that is part of the fun of this, where, I don't know how you feel about either Bubba or Brett Phillips right now, but in terms of just trying to figure out where you want to put your eggs in the, I don't know, I don't want to say fourth outfielder spot, but just the guy that you feel like can maybe ultimately develop, which is a funny thing to say because none of these guys are super duper young, but maybe develop into an everyday starting center fielder or whatever. Do you feel like there's a leader in the clubhouse? Do you prefer one of those names over the other at this point, or are you really in a place where you just say, we'll see what we get and then make choices as we go?
Well, I think Cordero, I think you're tempted to say just because he's the shiny new object. You know, it's kind of like the backup QB syndrome. You want to try the guy that you haven't seen yet.
But I
do legitimately think he's got more tools, and he has a little bit better of a track record in the minors, I think, than the other two guys. Phillips is a guy that I think could be a really tremendous defender. I think if you just kind of, if his role is to be a fourth outfielder, gave you defense, was a pinch runner like he was yesterday, and maybe started every once in a while, I think that would be an okay role with him. The question's always going to be, can he hit?
Yeah.
Can he make enough contact? With Bubba, I think he's kind of similar in that respect. I haven't seen him, like Phillips at least did put up some numbers in the minors. Bubba had kind of that half year at Omaha where everyone was hitting in AAA that year, and I wasn't like super impressed with what he did. And I know there's been a lot of talk about his new swing, and he's adjusted it, and he's got a newfound confidence. But I don't know. I'm still skeptical, and I want him to succeed, but I don't know. I feel like we've heard enough of these he's adjusted his swing stories to make me not really believe. So if he turns it around, great. And then this is kind of his opportunity. Dozier's out. This is maybe his last chance to kind of stick in the big leagues, because I don't know if another organization is going to give him as long a look as he's gotten with the Royals. But this is your chance to show what you can do. And first two games haven't been great, but he's got another chance, I'm sure, later on this week. And he's going to make the most of it because Cordero's in on the roster now, and it probably won't be too long before if Starling and Phillips don't hit, they'll get passed over for Cordero and Khalil Lee and other guys that the Royals want to take a look at.
Yeah. What else has interested you so far? I mean, again, we're only two games in, but it's two more games than we had the last dozen times that we've talked, maybe more. Has anybody else caught your eye and you say, like, oh, you know what, this is encouraging, this is concerning, this is something I'm keeping my eye on right now?
Danny Duffy looked really, really impressive, I thought, in his outing on Friday. He was getting a lot of pop-ups, which was really interesting. I don't know if that was by design. I think there's a reason to think it might have been. But like I said, it's a really good Cleveland team, and he went out there and looked really sharp. I think we're used to seeing Danny Duffy look really impressive, but also kind of labor through starts, and he didn't seem like he was laboring at all. I think he seemed like he was kind of breezing through those lineups, and he got in a little trouble in the fifth. I think I think he probably could have gotten through it, but we don't know. And I think the decision to pull him is at least defensible. But if he can be a nice, solid starter in that rotation, because I don't want to. I'm used to the early 2000 Royals where, like, they call a guy up and then they ask him to be their ace.
Right.
Okay, Zach Greinke, you're our best pitcher now.
Right.
I don't want that to happen to Brady Singer. I don't want him to feel like he has to carry this rotation.
Yeah.
It would be nice if another guy like Danny Duffy was a solid starter. Mike Montgomery gave us a couple solid starts and showed he was a dependable guy in the rotation. So, I don't. That also prevents them from maybe rushing other guys like Jackson Tolar or Daniel Lynch if some of these other guys are pretty solid. So I think Danny Duffy showed us a lot. I think he looked really good. Like I said, Zuber was super impressive, I thought. They gave him two strong innings, really good life to his fastball. And he's another guy that's got a lot of buzz, I think, in camp. And I thought maybe he'd be one of the first ones sent down. But I think now, with that outing, I think he's going to stick around for a little bit. So that's something I really want to see. And then, seeing Greg Holland and Trevor Rosenthal look like their old self. I mean, Holly, he had a little bit of trouble there, but to see him, I love that fall off the mound fastball he has, and that break, the kind of sink he had to his pitches, I think just, brought back old memories, if nothing else, but also, was getting hitters out. And that's something he struggled with, frankly, the last couple of years since he left the Royals. So it was nice to see him back on his game. And if him and Rosenthal are really solid, I think, like I said, it gives them a lot of options in that bullpen. It makes it a lot deeper and makes it possible for Matheny to go to his bullpen a lot earlier and maybe steal some wins that they wouldn't have ordinarily gotten. So definitely, I think there's a lot of encouraging things in the first two games, even if they split them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Last thing, Max, I'm assuming that you've seen this, and maybe you saw this when it was going around like a year ago for the first time. But we've been talking about it today, and so I'll ask you about it here. You have to pick two of these things, and the rest are coming to kill you. The two that you pick are defending you. I need to know your logic of where you've landed here. We've got 50 Hawks, 10 Gators, 3 Grizzly Bears, 7 Bulls, 1 Hunter with a gun, 15 Wolves, 10,000 Rats, 5 Gorillas, 4 Lions. Pick two to defend you. The rest are coming to kill you.
That's... That's something I have not thought about.
Okay, excellent.
I guess I'm taking the hunter because he has a gun.
Yeah.
And then the rats is kind of intriguing just because rats always seem to survive. If there's a bunch of rats
so many.
And they're going somewhere, you should follow that, right?
Yeah. Yes. I think that's great. I actually think that's the right answer. Also, we've been just laboring through this. But my thought is, did you see World War Z whenever that came out a few years ago?
I haven't. No.
Okay. Well, you may have even just seen the GIF of just how a bunch of zombies eventually end up going to a high wall, and they get
over the
wall by just climbing on each other. If I can get these rats to do World War Z stuff, I actually think they can take out a few gorillas and maybe buy us some time at least for the hunter to take care of all of the birds first, and then focus his sights on, I guess, four lions. It's not a good setup, but it is. I think it might be the best answer.
Give me a pack of rats and put them at my command, and I can rule the world. I think that's what you want. You want an army of rats to do your bidding.
That if we could all just get an army of rats to do our bidding, I think the world would be in a generally better place. Thank you, Max. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man.
Max Reaper of Royals Review. Follow him on Twitter. I don't know why he doesn't have more Twitter followers yet. Max Reaper, R-I-E-P-E-R. Do that. You can also check out all of his work. He's the editor-in-chief of Royals Review, so you just follow at Royals Review as well. But follow them both and read the work on Royals Review. Lesky's up there. There's a lot of great work there. There's not as many Royals-based outlets as there are Chiefs-based outlets, and Royals Review is among the best, if not the very best, in that kind of genre of Royals coverage. So check him out there, and again, follow Max Reaper on Twitter. We will take a break here on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810. I am Joshua Briscoe. Something else whenever we come back.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
I have a millennial-sized attention span.
On Sports Radio 810.
Because there's still a naked baby on the microphone across from me.
WHB.
Earlier, I tweeted out and we briefly discussed the other version of the pick two, they will defend you, the rest are coming to kill you meme. But this time has people, and then also Kermit the Frog. Your options are 15.
Kermit the Frog is people, too. How dare you?
That's fair. 15, Bernie Sanders. 1, Ellen DeGeneres. 7, Don Cheadle. 5, Papa John's. 2, Dwayne Johnson's. 30, Danny DeVito's. 50, Kermit the Frog's. 12, of Nathan from Nathan for You. And 10, Ninjas, the streamer, not the killing machines.
Ones.
Right. And I'm saying the answer here is 2 Rocks and 30 Danny DeVito's. The Rock, there can be one Rock that's in melee mode, and then one is using his array of Danny DeVito's as range weapons, just chucking Danny DeVito at, Ellen or whatever. But I got a tweet here from at James Jayhawk, and this says, 5 pizza drunk enraged Father Jonathans will decimate the earth. And I love so much. The idea of calling Papa John Father Jonathan.
Is that his actual name?
It is now. It's his formal name. Papa John is what you call him whenever you're friends. If you meet him for the first time, you say, "Hello, Father Jonathan." He has a last name. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
It just says his name is John.
It's not like Schneider or something, I think.
Schnatter? Yeah.
It's fine. I just, instead of referring, it's no longer Papa John's, either his name or the pizza place. It is now Father Jonathan's. I will have it no other way.
That's the offshoot brand that he launches.
Oh, you think, oh, that's pretty good.
That's the competition.
He takes his millions from Papa John's and goes and creates Father Jonathan's. I feel like that's going the wrong direction, though, because I think Father Jonathan sounds much nicer.
It's the fancy pizza place.
Right, but I don't think that's what he's going to do. I think his deal is
they have napkins.
Here's a grease disc. Just drink this grease. I'm Father Jonathan. I sweat grease.
I've had 14 pizzas in 13 days.
It's incredible. His voice was filled with grease. It was disgusting. What sounds more like... How do you get less formal than Papa John?
Daddy J.
That's all right. That's the correct answer. Daddy J evolves into Papa John's, evolves into Father Jonathan's, but he's going the wrong direction.
He's devolving?
He's devolving, for sure. Racist Daddy J's is the name of his new pizza place. Wow, that's excellent. I know this is a ridiculous. Wow, my tweet about the Royals being tied for first place in the AL Central on July 25th did numbers. Good job, Twitter. You guys respect me.
Like two? That's a number.
No, like 150 retweets, like 2,000 likes. Royals fans are hype, baby. Playoff race. I'm excited. Seriously, man, I was voluntarily watching as much baseball as I could yesterday, and it was weird. Like, I didn't expect to do that myself. Can we play that Rick Burkholder sound here, Beards? I almost called you Rudy, which is a sign of how long Rudy's been running AES, because I've called Rudy Beards multiple times. There's a whole "I'm sorry, honey, that's not what I meant" thing going on. It's really difficult. We got you on the weekends and Rudy on weeknights. It's terribly confusing. But Rick Burkholder, the Chiefs head of basically everything health now. He mentioned at the beginning of this, he's expanded his title where he's no longer just the head trainer and the VP of everything in that regard. He's also managing all of the Chiefs' COVID operations and protocols and everything. But the best piece of audio here is Rick Burkholder being asked about what it's been like kind of working with Andy Reid throughout this process. And they've worked together forever, or at least for a long time. So this isn't like a new experience, him working with Reid, but specifically working alongside Andy Reid in terms of creating the plans for what if this is what camp looks like? What if training camp looks like that? What if it looks like this? What if it looks like that? And so he was asked about working with Andy Reid. The first quote here is the money one. The whole thing is really interesting.
I think I've told some people on the call before, there's two men in the world that I'd take a bullet for. One's my dad and one's Andy Reid. He's a father figure to me, and he's been awesome in this process, but he's also been a big redheaded bear at times because of the unknown. And he likes to lay things out, and he has his schedule ready in May, and we're in July, and the schedule's not, it's just being finalized today because we just got the schedule protocols. I felt like this was a chance for me to give back to Andy Reid. He's given me so much and taught me how to be a good athletic trainer, and I feel like he and I are very close, but I walk in his office on Monday mornings with problems. And this was one of the rare times in my career that I could actually give him solutions. And so he was struggling with the unknown from the league, and I was getting information earlier because it was all medical before they involved the coaches and the general managers. But then they started bringing Andy in, so he knew what the questions were going to be going into his meetings, and he would call me. And we had some late night conversations. Well, they were late for me. He was on the West Coast, so they were late for me. But we would go through, you know, phantom schedules. Like, and when it was all said and done, he came back to town. I said, "All right, now that we're done doing this and we're moving forward, how many schedules do you have?" And he showed me on his iPad. He had like 20 different schedules, because every time they would throw us wasn't a curveball, but it was a change in the protocol, he changed his schedule. And he's got it pretty mastered. I mean, it's amazing, because last night I got the same printout that I've gotten every year for camp. It was just in July instead of May. And then we had to put a tweak on it this morning. But he's a master at organization and all that. And I felt like this was the first time where I could give back to him and say, "Okay, coach, this is what the rule's going to be. How are we going to do this?" And he would say, "I got it." And he'd call me 20 minutes later. He'd go, "What do you think about this?" So this was I'm not telling you this was fun for me, but it was different for me. And my ability to assist coach in doing the protocols was very, very fulfilling to me. The fact that he was the main coach on all these calls also gave me a little thrill, because I was giving him information and we work stuff out before you get on the call. And he's a beautiful mind. I mean, he really has a focus on what to do and the right things to do. I've said this to you guys before. His dad was an artist. His mom was a doctor. He's got art and science like nobody I've ever seen. And I've been on Zoom calls religiously with science people. And then you get to Andy, who throws the art into it, and it all makes sense. And I've gotten off calls with the medical people and said, "I don't know how we're going to do this." And I'd call coach and he'd say, "Okay, we're going to do it this way." That's the art of the science that Andy Reid's so good at that we never see, because we basically enjoy Sundays where his art is unbelievable, you know? So I know I bumped a lot of people up, but it took this whole village to get us to today. It's going to take the whole village to get us to September 10th, and it's going to take even more people as we add to the ship to get us through February.
A Trick Burkholder, and I just found that to be such an insightful, like, look at Andy Reid through his vision there. Like, first of all, I should add, he said he's willing to take a bullet for two men, Andy Reid and his dad. Not in that order, I don't think. He needs to add Patrick Mahomes to that list. All of us do. We just all need to be ready at a moment's notice. If we see Patrick Mahomes and a gun, we've got to get between the two. It's just, we all have to agree on that. That's our collective duty as Kansas Cityans. But I just thought, some of that is kind of a look into Burkholder's head of, you know, Reid was struggling with the unknowns, and Burkholder was able to help provide answers. I had to sneeze. Burkholder sounded legitimately happy to be able to do that. And, you know, Andy Reid had like 20 schedules and was always adjusting to whatever information was newly added. Called him a master of organization. I think all of that is a lot of fun and a lot of good insight. But also you get the thing at the end there, that his dad was an artist, his mom was a doctor thing. That I had not gone the Andy Reid is the perfect combination of art and science. I had not done that thinking for myself yet. But it actually does track. Like, it's very flowery, kind of, the language and all. But you do see all of that show up, both in terms of, like, the creativity that we see on the football field, but also the meticulousness that comes in the planning of it. I haven't heard really anybody talk about Andy Reid in those terms, and I think it's actually really valuable and really, really interesting. There is truly a combination of art and science there. Anyway, I just thought that was worth hearing and getting a little bit of a closer look at Rick Burkholder, and then also kind of hearing how he is looking at Andy Reid. We'll take a break here on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810. We'll take a break and come back with Darren Smith. The ship is about 20 minutes away. We'll spend the next 15 minutes with Darren whenever we come back.
This is Sports Sunday.
Sorry for the long pause. I had to sneeze.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I'm still allergic to everything in the air. Spring and summer. Our Satan seasons.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last segment of Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, now joined by the Honorable Darren Smith.
Yes, sir.
Darren, thank you for being in here as we lead into the ship. We've got a little crosstalk for the next 15 minutes.
It is always a pleasure to be aboard.
And there is something that we have not yet talked about today.
Well, there's a lot of things we haven't talked about.
That's true. There's a lot of things I haven't talked about today that Beards and I haven't talked about yet today. And frankly, Beards, I want you to know you have an open invitation on this. Because we have not yet talked about Lou Williams this weekend.
You stole my thunder. I mean, I was going to talk about that in the opening segment.
You still can. People are going to join in at noon.
That is true. But see, I'm going to go in a whole different direction than you.
Excellent. I'm good with that.
I don't know, because it might not be SEC.
Well, that's fine. That's something you can do starting at noon. Yeah. I got all this hand sanitizer here. My hands are clean from whatever you do at noon and beyond. Lou Williams, as you may have heard this in the Sports Centers, and I'll just say, as the Sports Center anchors have said, he left the bubble and went and got dinner at a gentleman's club.
Well, he was on his way to a funeral and on his way back.
That's right.
And he stopped for dinner.
We all mourn in different ways. Who among us hasn't mourned at the club?
I have never mourned with a lap dance. Never. There's some things I've done. I have actually paid college courses with the amount of MVP or VIP that I've gotten during my college days and early part of my career at Lincoln University. That's just a snippet of what you did in the new day.
You have paid tuitions in
cash. No. Not tuition. College courses. That's different. That's like $65 an hour, so that's different.
You're right.
Than what Lou Williams did.
You're right. But
he didn't go there for the chicken.
No, although I did see at some point there was like someone like tweeted out the menu. It's like, look, I mean, there's some great deals on this list. It's just,
understand something, brother.
It's so good.
Understand
this story's
something.
So good. Talk to me.
I've got VIP status at Gus's Gold Mine, which is no longer an establishment. Temptations.
Gus's Gold Mine is an incredible.
Yes, right off of Linwood. Trust me.
That
off of 70 Highway. Got VIP status at Bazooka. VIP status at Temptations, or what they call Totally New. There are places that I've journeyed. I've taken people from the White House when President Bush was in office. Took them when they stayed at Crown Center. I took them and the military down the street to Totally New, or Temptations.
What was W like in the club?
No, W stayed at the hotel. Oh. I'm talking about his Secret Service and his military age. That's
sounds
where we
sounds
went.
Like you're protecting W.
Nah, never.
I feel like he had. Did the Secret Service have a money gun?
Let me assure you. Let me assure you. We didn't go there for the chicken.
How?
They were burgers kind of people.
They were burger guys. Absolutely burger guys. Here's my question. Help me understand. Help me understand. Right now, by the way, Lou Williams gets basically snitched on by Jack Harlow. So I've made this joke already. What's popping is clearly the NBA bubble because Lou Williams is trying to bring some stuff back into the bubble with him. How? What exactly?
Yeah, he was just missing his friend.
Reminiscing.
I don't know what goes into the mind of ninjas, brother. I don't know.
What happens in Lou Williams' head here? I am leaving the bubble to go to a funeral, and I'm coming back. It's just that I'm out, so I might as well swing through?
You give ninjas money, they don't know what to do with it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's all I'm going to say. I don't know. Look, man, here. See, you make me upset because you give some of my stuff away. But there's a difference between leadership under Patrick Mahomes and leadership such as Lou Williams.
That's true. I mean, look, man. Right.
What I read about this, and it's funny, people in my community, they think it's a joke. They're like, oh, maybe he's going for the chicken or going for the breast, and, you know, and breast as a chicken
breast.
The chicken breast. But here's the thing, man. You get paid millions of dollars. Brother, it ain't going nowhere. I've been to Magic City.
It'll be there.
Yeah, look, I've been to Magic City.
And by it, I mean the chicken breasts. They'll be there.
In my younger days, I was dating somebody here in Kansas City that ended up moving to Atlanta to dance and perform at
Get
Magic
that money.
City.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I wasn't paying that kind of money. No, even we were dating.
No.
I'm not doing what she was able to make. Hey, go for it.
Yeah, bless you. You go follow, again, go chase your bliss.
It's still going to be there. Like, you could have gone to a bubble. Oh, you could have gone to a dope establishment. Well, no, you actually couldn't.
I've got a question.
Don't ask me how much because I'm not pulling a receipt.
No. I would not put you on the spot like that. The NBA puts a barbershop in the bubble.
Facts.
They're like, hey, we got to keep.
I already know he's
going to be here. He's like, hey, look, we got to have everybody like staying fresh throughout this whole thing. They're going to be in here for a while.
Everybody said this is like the 2K neighborhood thing come to life.
That's exactly right.
2K21, what are they adding?
Everybody, you got to have decent hotel rooms.
You bring this energy next hour, too.
You got to have decent hotel rooms. You got to have decent food.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have all that.
All that.
You could have avoided some problems here if you just have Club Bubble.
See, but the problem is where you're staying. You're staying Disney. You can't have a quote-unquote family atmosphere. Plus, you remember, players are going to be bringing their wives in and girlfriend, you know. It's kind of hard
That's
to have
later,
that.
Though.
That's later.
Yeah, but you don't want stenches.
Not all of them are bringing them. Not all of them. You got to figure.
But you don't want the stench of having an adult attainment there on Disney. It's just not a good look for ESPN.
We're going around the room. What are we naming the club? I've got Magic Kingdom.
Oh, no.
Hold on, man. You can't give all the names.
That's fine. Okay, Beard, you got one?
I do not have one.
Darren, we'll go this way then. We'll go this way.
I got to think.
Magic Mountain.
Oh, Magic Mountain is very good. Beards.
You're putting me on the spot like this.
I don't have anything yet.
Oh, I got another one.
Okay.
Club Shaft.
Why is that?
Really?
Really?
I don't have... Have you seen the movie Shaft?
I have.
It's very good.
It's very funny. Is that a Disney property?
No.
Okay. Well, but I feel like it's a reach.
Well, you didn't say it had to be a Disney. You just said it come
it's
up with
It's in
a
the
day.
Disney bubble.
Oh, man. Well, you said Magic Kingdom. I mean,
Magic Kingdom's Disney. The glass slipper. It's like whimsical. What are you going to find in there? No Prince Charmings. Absolutely none.
Or the magic slipper. I mean, I don't know.
No. What's the... I've just got sort of Walt Disney's frozen head as a decorative piece. It's between like a couple of like luges, like ice luges, you know, where you can do shots off of Walt Disney's cryogenically frozen head. There's my offering. This is what I've got on the table.
Brother, that's really. That's a good. I don't know. Maybe
I don't know how this is spelled. I don't know how the. I think you should do that. I don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know how this is spelled, but I. The title of it is just Mickey Mouse just going woohoo. That's just. That's. I don't know how it's spelled, but it's got to be in that voice.
Oh, well, obvious. Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse.
That's pretty good.
That is.
That's pretty good. I am getting more nervous the closer that we get to me having to make a pun on the word goofy. I don't know why. It's just
see,
I just
see. And the thing is, I don't want to sexualize Minnie Mouse.
No, know, that's with Mark Matt Forrest Beards. Yeah, out of context, Darren just said, "I don't want to sexualize Minnie Mouse."
Yeah, I'm just saying, coming up with a name, and of course, yeah, that's because I do have a thought, but I don't think it's really.
It's tough. Yeah, I know it's tough.
The Cinderella is kind of easy.
The magic lamp. You know why?
Makes all your wishes come true.
After you rub it.
What if... No. No, we can't say the words.
I'm loving you censoring yourself out loud.
Because I'm thinking Snow White and the Seven.
No. I'm afraid. I don't actually know what that one's going to end with, and I'm still nervous about it.
Oh. Gosh.
What if it... All right, let's go a different way here. Okay. What if it's just Cars themed?
I never saw a car. You got me on that one.
Why Club is Larry Mustang. The Cable Guy here?
Club Mustang.
That's not bad. But I'm looking for Club Tomater. It's called and the club in the Cars universe is just called Headlights.
No, it's Taillights.
Whoa! Beards, that's disgusting. Beards, how dare you?
I'm sorry.
Beards has been to a club or two back in the day.
Yeah, Beards tore up whatever college in Arkansas that he went to. That I think Rudy still doesn't know where you actually went to college.
No, I don't think so. Man. Let's keep the game going though.
Yes.
Monsters University. Don't even have to change the name of that one. You can just bring that one right across the board. I got a pretty good one for Finding Dory that I'm definitely not going to say. So we're going to go ahead and just
Finding Dory.
Oh, okay. Hey, you, Darren, you familiar with the Rapunzel themed Disney movie recently?
Tangled?
You remember?
Club Entanglement.
That's exactly right. We're going to shout out to the Smith family. Club Entanglement.
That's the best club.
Entanglement is opening in the Disney bubble near you. I'm not going to use Wreck-It Ralph.
Ooh.
No. Mm-mm. At this point, I'm just reading names of Disney products, and then I'm refusing to make puns about them because eventually I get nervous about them. What's on the ship today, Darren?
I got Michael Coleman. I got Tyler Jones. We're going to talk, of course, his NBA stuff, as well as Kansas Speedway. And got the great Seren Petro joining me at 1 o'clock. We're going to kind of look back at the press conference yesterday that he and I were on with the Chiefs, among other things, and, of course, more about Lou Williams.
They had a movie called BFG. What does that stand for in this world? Bye, Mom. Oh, God.